Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, welcome to Dudes on Hockey, episode 90. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
90. That's how many Academy Awards Avatar didn't win.
That's exactly
on
right.
Sunday. Yeah. But you know what? $90 million is also how much money James Cameron gave Catherine Bigelow in their divorce, I think.
Yeah. That was like 20 years ago.
She got... I guess you're right. Oh, 20 years ago. She should have held out a little longer. She would have got some Titanic money.
That's like IPO. That's like she got out pre-IPO.
Bummer.
Yeah, it's too bad.
Bummer.
Good movie,
but she probably got Abyss money.
Yeah. That was a good movie. I liked it. Damn. It was on HBO the other day. I was watching it.
Yeah, that's a long movie for the payoff that gives, though. Yeah. I felt like, you know, it's like a long time of like, isn't it Bill Paxton?
No.
Who is it?
Michael Bean's in
it. Oh, Michael Bean and Mary Elizabeth Mastrantonio.
Yeah. Ed Harris.
What have we done to this podcast?
Yeah, we've turned it into an Oscar review.
I hope everyone's looking forward to my analysis of The Young Victoria. Dude, hockey is in full swing. We had two games this week at the Tank where the Sharks were trailing and came back and reigned supreme.
That's right. We saw them come back against New Jersey, which we talked about last week, and how many people left the building too early, missed the three-goal comeback. But we witnessed the Sharks actually get actual victorious comebacks on Thursday and Saturday against the Canadiens, Les Habitants, and the Columbus Blue Jackets, who just beat down the Ducks the other night. I thought I mentioned that because it's funny.
Oh, it is funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it.
Yeah, it's good times.
Ducks are, you know, some people are saying they're watching the Ducks being on the edge of the playoff race. I'm not that worried. I don't think they're going to make it.
If you get worked by Columbus, then you're not going to make it. Call me crazy.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, you know, stranger things have happened and they got hot at the end of the year last year, but I don't think that's the same team. They look a little bit defeated.
Without their third line that was so tough to play against, with the second line not clicking very much with Solani, and without Chris Pronger, I think you put it the best a few shows ago, this team has lost its identity. They don't really know if they're coming or going. And frankly, at a pretty dubious trade deadline, they didn't really help their cause.
I wouldn't call it a trade deadline. I'd call it a complete refurbishment of the entire team.
And like, maybe not for the better.
They just basically remodeled.
Yeah.
They took the same house and just kind of moved furniture around and then bought some new stuff.
Or they like traded the iPod for like the first generation Microsoft Zoom.
Maybe they'll fire Bob Murray and the Flames will fire Daryl Sutter and they'll just switch jobs.
That'd be sweet. Nice. Well, we're going to be talking about mostly your emails today. And also, I did want to mention, we're at 90, dude. So does that mean we have to plan a 100th episode?
I think that it's on the horizon, right?
Yeah. It's 10 weeks, dude. I'm no math major. Actually, I was almost a math major, so that's not really true.
Will there still be Sharks hockey in 10 weeks? That's the real question.
Yeah, I mean,
I sure hope so. That would be fitting for the 100th episode. 10 weeks from today would be end of May.
Yeah, middle of May.
Are we talking that it's possible, if the hockey stars align, that our 100th episode could come the week that the Sharks are entering the Stanley Cup Finals?
I think it might be a little early for that. I think I marked it out to be the 19th. Is that too? No, maybe that's
not
right.
No. That would be a little early, I think. It would be the conference finals. Yeah. I'd be happy with that.
Yeah, I'd be
Either it's going to be that, or we're going to be sitting here wallowing in our own disappointment. We might just be... You know, we could get the bathtub going and make some bathtub moonshine.
Yeah, that's good.
Sit out in the backyard on the patio. I mean, that's assuming that your water's on.
Yeah. Dude, it's on.
Oh, good.
It came on that night, I'll have you know.
Okay.
Dude, I just to recap for the listeners, for those who may not have been with us last year when the Sharks didn't make it, you know, the 100th episode spectacular could be something like,
dude.
Right.
Dude.
Or,
dude.
Dude, at the 100th episode, we could serve
hamburgers.
How could we not serve?
Hamburgers.
There we go.
Of course. Yeah. That would be a special treat for the 100th episode to have hamburgers on the show himself.
Oh, man.
That'd be amazing.
Yeah, that's cool.
So we've put a lot of questions out there to the listeners as far as ideas of how to put the podcast out there, and you guys have really responded in droves. And, you know, maybe in the coming weeks we'll put some things out there as far as what are some ideas for us to do for our 100th episode. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah. Dude, do we have a winner for the best, you know, suggestion for improving the podcast? Do we have a winner for this?
For the best suggestion of how to market the podcast?
Yeah, we have. So we had several.
I think so.
Who's your winner?
I'm going to have to go with...
And the winner is? And the Oscar goes to? You don't know.
No, I do know.
You're searching on your computer.
No, I do know. Hold on. I just want to make sure. I just want to make sure I get the identity correct. The winner is Corey Haim. Sorry.
Too soon.
Dude.
Okay, it's Nick.
Now you've turned on me.
It's not too soon.
You have a list of Corey Haim jokes. I see them right there. Yeah. It is too soon, dude. I'm very disappointed in you.
Yeah.
Dude, my winner's Chris.
Yeah?
Chris from Boston.
Nice.
Chris, I mean, a lot of people sent in some ideas, but Chris actually made us a radio commercial.
That's true. That's above and beyond. Here, let me play it for you, because this is pretty awesome.
Do you love hockey? Do you love the Sharks? Well, then you'll love the Dudes on Hockey podcast. Dudes on Hockey is your most complete source for in-depth Sharks analysis.
The first thing that I know that we both agree on is that we need a number two defenseman.
My summary, which is what it always is it's sort of, you got to find the gems amidst the load of crap.
JR, Locke Hall of Famer or not? Dude?
The dudes offer up unfiltered opinions.
This is the Hooverville of hockey right here.
That's right. So what about Semenov then?
Semenov,
you don't want to keep him?
No.
I think you keep him. I think you got to.
He's a gigantic tree with skates.
And their own brand of witty commentary.
47 years ago, our fathers brought forth Scott Nickel.
That's right.
Upon this continent.
And the dudes are never afraid to ask the tough questions.
So, what'd you have for lunch?
Check us out at dudesonhockey.com or download us on iTunes.
I had some leftover pizza, just in case anyone was wondering.
Okay. That's an excellent effort.
I think he's the clear winner, dude. So what does he get?
He gets a Dudes on Hockey t-shirt.
Fantastic. So, Chris, send us your address, and a t-shirt's coming your way, man.
Yeah, that's really above and beyond, Chris. My hat is off to you, sir.
Absolutely.
And there's not to say that there weren't other awesome
ideas.
Oh,
no, we got some great emails, dude.
And we're definitely going to probably be implementing at least one, if not more than one, of some of those ideas, because they were... very good. And some of you had the same idea, which means it's a really good idea. So those are the more likely ones. Who knows? We'll be announcing those later in the later on this year. Hopefully we'll get some of those, you know, on tap pretty soon. A couple of you, I'll give you a sneak preview. A couple of you said, get the YouTube thing going. We had a YouTube video. If you look for Dudes on Hockey on YouTube, you'll find a video that we shot poorly, I might add, when we went to the Stockton game. And one thing we were thinking about doing is actually doing a video while we're recording the podcast. If you watch NHL Live, as we do, you'll notice it's a simulcast on the on TV as well as on the radio. You know, and maybe we'll do like a little clip each week, a little video of us, you know, sitting here waving my hands as I'm doing right now, which you can't see because
it's entertaining. But let me tell you, it's visually stunning.
It's not on YouTube, though. You'll never see it.
You're no avatar.
Maybe we could both dress up in blue faces for the
we
first
absolutely
video.
Could.
But we could put that on YouTube and people can subscribe that way and you know, do video responses and all that crazy crap.
Maybe some clips from some games. We'll come up with some material, but that's certainly one good example, dude, of stuff that we are going to get fired up here in the coming weeks.
Yeah. And hopefully we can get some of that rolling by the playoffs. Maybe we can do it a few weeks before the playoffs so we can kind of get the hang of it, because you never know. It could really suck and we should just ditch it.
Playoffs?
Playoffs? Who are we, Jim Mora now? All right, dude. Let's fire up some emails, because we had lots of good emails this week, and we got to get to those because you know, those are really the main topics of the week, and our listeners, as always, provide us with some of the major talking points here. First one from Patrick. He says, "Hindsight is 20/20." After watching George's take a hit last night. Obviously, he emailed us last Friday after the Montreal game. He started running through memories of past Sharks while humming "It's So Hard to Say Goodbye to Yesterday" by Boyz II Men. Humming that in four part by yourself, that's tough.
That's talent.
That is tough. Good work, Patrick. And I thought I'd throw this one out to you. Out of all the former Sharks currently playing in the NHL, is there anyone you wished we had back on for this playoff run? Maybe an old trade we wish we could do a do-over? Patrick, dude, what do you got?
There's one
that immediately popped out for me. I don't know if it's the same one for you.
Trade that would be a do-over? It's hard for me because I think this trade had a lot to do with getting a player that I like a lot indirectly, but I wish we still had Craig Revay.
That's the one I thought of too.
That's the guy who I'd love to still see on this team. And, you know, if we had Craig Revay, we wouldn't have had to trade for hamburgers probably, or we wouldn't have signed Kent Huskins. And
that's true.
I'd certainly rather have Craig Revay than Kent Huskins. There's no doubt about that.
Mm-hmm.
And could he help this team get to a Stanley Cup? You bet.
Yeah, yeah. He's the captain of the Buffalo Sabres. Give the captaincy immediately once he was traded. They recognized in him, you know, something special. You know, actually, no, I'd put him second. I'd put Ville Niemann in first.
I was going to say Matt Bradley.
Yeah. Who's still in the league.
Yeah, I know. Unbelievable.
And Matthew Darche, by the way, is playing for the Montreal Canadiens.
Good for him.
There you go. So
yeah, Craig Revay.
Craig Revay.
Although, to his credit, Josh Georges has become a respectable NHL defenseman.
Yes.
He has.
Yeah, he was like second on the ice. He was like second in ice time that night for a while, I think, at one point in the second or third. He was tops on that team in ice time. So yeah, he's turned himself around, gotten himself a pretty decent career there. So
good for him.
Good for you, George.
Certainly way better than I ever would have expected when he was just taking a hit in the corner.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah. Okay. Here we go. We have Adam next up, and he says, as we get closer to the playoffs, it only makes sense that we as Sharks fans will read into many different things and find fear in them rightly or wrongly. With that, I ask you to indulge me. Does it worry you that Joe Thornton has only 3 power play goals this year? Will this make the power play too one-dimensional come the playoffs? And it's not just Joe. It's Klo and Pavs. So he gives some stats here. This year, Heatley has 16 power play goals, Marlowe 11. The next is Seta with 7, then Boyle with 3, with Demers, Pavs, and Thornton all with 3. Okay? Last year, we had Klo with 11, Marlowe with 11, Thornton with 11, and Setoguchi with 11. Although that's, you know, 15 more games, but it's still pretty close. The year before that, we only had 2 guys over 10, Thornton and Chichu, with Pavs, Marlowe, Roenick, and Mahala coming up next. So, dude, we've talked about secondary scoring in some past shows. Is this particular aspect of secondary scoring more worrisome than the issue in general? Or do you think this is a problem? So Adam follows it up with, it seems outside of a handful of really special players, everyone can get bottled up in the playoffs, dude. What's your take on this conundrum? Is this something to worry about? Something not to worry about?
Well, I think given our past history last year, I think it's definitely something to be on the radar about.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not particularly worried just because, I mean, you look at the numbers, I'm looking at this, you know, Heatley has, 16 power play goals. Already he's like way above everybody else. So you've got the king of the power play added in, and that's taking away some of Thornton's goal scoring production.
Right. Yeah.
Because he's got a guy who's just, you know, one of the, I mean, you could say top 10 power play guys in the entire league.
Top 5.
You know, no doubt. So he just makes the team better. I don't know if I'm as concerned about this right now. I think I certainly might be if we go 3 games with no power play goals, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm not circling this as something on my concerns going into the playoffs as high as maybe Adam is. What do you think, dude?
Yeah, I'm the same way. The way I would put it is the fact that Thornton doesn't have a lot of power play goals, I think, is less a function of Thornton and more a function of Heatley and Marlowe. Those guys are putting the puck in the net all the time. And as everyone knows, Joe is looking to dish first. And if nobody's going to put the puck in the net, then he's going to do it himself as a second or even third option, you know, passing it back to Nabby and regrouping. I think, you know, that would be his second choice. His third choice would be to shoot. So Thornton not having a lot of goals just tells me that Heatley is putting the puck in the net with such an amazing amount of accuracy and consistency. There's no reason for him to shoot.
Right.
There's no reason for him to try to score. So, you know, if Heatley goes cold, of course Joe's going to try something else. I mean, you know, Joe unfortunately does seem to try the same thing over and over. And I saw a stat today that has Joe, I think, in the top 5 in the NHL in giveaways. But still, that doesn't particularly worry me, because I don't think Joe's doing anything different this year that he did last year, except passing more and having those passes yield more fruit.
So are these numbers here, 08, 09, numbers for the end of the year?
That's right.
11, 11, 11, yes. 11?
Yeah, that's right. That's so, all
I mean,
year.
This is a little skewed. I mean, Pavelski has missed 15 games this year.
Yeah.
Seto's missed, looks like, 12.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you look at Seto's, most likely he could hit his 11.
Mm-hmm.
And Pavs has 3. And, you know, because he missed 15 games, you know, I mean, if he had played a full season, would he hit his 8? Possibly.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, he'll come real close. So I don't think we're as far off as maybe it seems, Adam.
Yeah. In secondary scoring, as for the last statement, outside of a handful of really special players, everyone can get bottled up in the playoffs. I think you can say that about just about anybody. You shut down Kane and Taves and the Blackhawks, who do they got? You really want to rely on your power play efficiency riding on the shoulders of Patrick Sharp? Are you sure about that?
Yes, I would.
I mean, do you really want, I mean, if the Ovechkin line gets cold, who are you gonna turn to?
Matt Bradley.
Yeah. I rest my case.
Dude, a little bit slightly off topic, but have you noticed the last two games, the wake up of the sleeping Torrey Mitchell?
Yeah, I like
he
it.
Almost got Scott Nickel killed.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
he has been way more involved in the last two games, I thought, than he has been really all season.
Yeah.
So is this because Mitchell's finally just kind of hitting his stride? Or, you know, has he had a great, you know, Sonic the Hedgehog tournament at home with Seto on the Wii? Or is this a product of
him? They're playing COD with me, my friend.
Is this a product of him? Mitchell, cover me on my flank. Is this a product of him playing with skill players now instead of just centering Staubitz and Shelley?
No, I'm voting for wake up.
Okay.
I don't think it's merely a function of players, because, you know, that pass to Nickel doesn't matter if it was Staubitz or Nickel. I mean, that was a great pass. And he had that pass to Malhotra for the game winner in the Columbus game, I want to say.
Yep.
Montreal game?
He got an assist in the Montreal game.
Yeah, so it's that one. Mm-hmm. He had the first assist, great pass. Manny, of course, is in the perfect spot. But, I mean, he's made a number of really, really good plays, and that's two really different lines that he was on. So, yeah, I think Mitchell's slowly coming back. Of course, you look at his contract, and as of this moment, maybe it doesn't make a lot of sense. But, you know, he still has a ways to go, and I still think that he's not all the way back. He's not where he was when he got hurt. He's still finding his way back. I don't know if physically is the case. It may just be mentally. He's just trying to find a way to, you know, make his mark in the lineup.
Well, and for a young player to miss an entire season.
More than an entire season.
After just having one full season in the NHL.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot. I mean, that's things that some people never come back from.
So
just to see the glimmer here coming back from the Olympic break is encouraging, because his speed and his ability to forecheck and play defense, Torrey Mitchell could be a huge part of what could be a great success.
And he was a really great penalty killer back before he got hurt. And right now, with Malhotra and Nickel and Pavelski and Marlowe, there just isn't a spot for him on the PK right now. I don't know if it's necessary. I don't think that's a detriment to his skills. Right. I think on a lot of other teams, they could use a guy with that kind of energy and just that kind of skill defensively. So that, I don't see that as a knock against Mitchell either. It's just that, frankly, Manny Malhotra is every bit of the beast and more than I expected from him. And this is a guy that we wanted, and we got him, and he's over-delivered as far as I'm concerned. This guy is a must sign for me.
All right. There's no doubt he's coming back.
He has to come back.
Doug Wilson's worked too hard to bring these role players in, and, you know, we'll see. You know, if they go belly up in round one again, you know, I think we've, you know, speculated it's possible he might not even be the one making the decisions at that time. I know you're not really sure about that.
I don't think that's the case, but
I'm going to use one of your nice and soft tissues here, dude.
Okay, dude.
They smell.
Yeah. Good. What?
Do they have their scented tissues?
I don't know, dude. They're just tissues.
This is what we call a tangent. All right. Go. Keep going.
All right. I'm going to go to another email from Patrick, but I believe it's a different Patrick.
Yes.
He says, dudes, I find myself scoreboard watching the Wings and the Ducks much more than any other team, including Chicago, trying to figure out whether they'll sneak in as another rotten first-round matchup for the Sharks. My question is this. Would you rather the Wings-Ducks don't make the playoffs at all, or would you rather they make it but are guaranteed to play Chicago in the first round?
I don't want them in it at all.
Yeah, I don't want
them. If I could pick for the Wings to be out of it, I'd rather them just not be there.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
I don't think the Ducks have a chance, as we said earlier in the show. I think they're too far behind. What do we say? They're 11th right now with 7 points to make up. That's just a lot of traffic.
It's going to be a lot for them to make up, especially with some aging players in that roster, some guys who have been fighting injuries all year in Solani and Koivu. You know, you just wonder down the stretch how interested they're going to be, especially with that team just constantly being overhauled.
Yeah.
You got to think for some of those guys in that dressing room that have been there a while that it might be getting a little old.
Yeah.
You know, but we'll see. You know, I would never count the Ducks out of anything. But if I could choose, I would just rather have the Wings not in it.
Yeah.
You know, to win a Stanley Cup, you got to catch some breaks.
That's right.
And that would be one huge break for both the Sharks and the Blackhawks to have the Wings out of it. The danger is if the Wings are in it and they play the Blackhawks, well, what if they win? And then what if you have to play them next?
Right, right.
No, thanks. I mean,
I think you want it as easy as you can get. You know, some people say, and, you know, I'm on the radio with Chaitin Choder, and he says, oh, well, it doesn't matter. You want to play the best and beat the best. See, I completely disagree with that. You want the easiest possible road because, you, like you just said, you need some breaks in order to make it. You know, it could be injuries. It could be, you know, a goal called back. It could be a missed assignment at the wrong time. But the fact is, if you look at these series, teams don't play seven-game series all four rounds and go on to win the Stanley Cup. It just doesn't happen. Teams play 5 games in the first round, 5 games in the second round, and then they're positioned to win the whole thing. You don't want to play a tough team every single round. It just doesn't, it never works because there's some team that's going to breeze through, they're going to be rested and healthy, and you're going to be sitting there licking your wounds, not completely unlike the Sharks had to play Calgary in 7 games and then face another tough team in Dallas. I mean, the deck was stacked against them at that point. Calgary brought us to 7 games. The Sharks, in all likelihood, were not going to get far. And guess what? They lost the first 3 games to Dallas and never made it back. So there it is. No, I don't want any tough teams in the first 2 rounds. None. No, I'll play the, you know, Washington Generals. You know what I mean?
Wow.
That's what we want. That's what
and we would lose.
Well, you had an interesting blog post today, dude, about Chicago, and you compared the schedules remaining, you know, between the two teams, and Chicago's only 2 points back of the Sharks. And
actually, I think we're tied now because Chicago came back and beat the Kings tonight, I think.
Crap.
Let me look, but
you made an interesting point, which is maybe the best possible situation would be for Detroit to finish sixth and the Sharks to finish second.
Right.
Because then if Detroit wins, they have to play the Blackhawks, assuming the Blackhawks win, you know, and that's a pretty good spot because then, you know, we wouldn't play Detroit until the Western Conference Finals.
You wouldn't see Detroit or Chicago until the finals.
That's right.
And that would, you know, hypothetically, the Sharks, if they were second and Detroit was sixth, we would get Nashville or Colorado.
Or maybe Calgary.
Or maybe Calgary. Okay. You know, I'm not really that nervous about
any of those
teams. I'm interested to see Nashville tomorrow night to see, you know, with Grebishkov and, you know, if that's really going to help them. I just don't see how it makes them any more exciting. Their problem is scoring anyways.
Yeah.
But
that was interesting. So yeah, you had these schedules here and unfortunately for your interesting theory, but fortunately maybe for the Sharks overall record, it looks like the Sharks have a slightly easier schedule than the Blackhawks here the rest of the year. They have to play Philly and Washington. They have to play New Jersey and Detroit again. We don't have to play any of those teams, but we do have to play Vancouver thrice.
We do have to play Vancouver thrice. They have to play St. Louis twice, which I think that's going to be tough because St. Louis is kind of still in the mix here, mm-hmm. and they always play hard.
Yeah.
So, you know, playing St. Louis twice, New Jersey, we get Minnesota twice. That team, for me, watching them, they're maybe the most improved team this season.
Mm-hmm.
They've really bought into Todd Richards. They're keeping their core around. They're possibly a playoff team next year.
Yeah.
So that's not going to be a team that's going to be exciting to play. We'll see, dude. It's just kind of throwing that at the wall saying, what would be better?
Right. Well, Patrick, discretion's the better part of valor. And if I had my discretion, I wouldn't play any tough teams in the first or second round. So no Wings, no Sharks. I mean, no Wings, no Ducks. Thank you very much. All right.
Amen.
All right. Last email from Dave, a.k.a. Evil Ducks. Evil Ducks is a frequent member on our comment thread. And for that, we thank you very much, Dave, because it's always nice to have a blog post and people comment on it and they go back and forth with each other and call you an idiot or call you a genius or whatever happens.
He's called us both.
maybe in the same day.
No, we appreciate it.
No, but this is more an NHL question, although, you know, with the Scott Nickel thing, it's not exactly apropos here, but he says, now Matt Cook has not been suspended by the NHL, so they can be consistently stupid with their decision not to suspend Richards earlier in the year. How can anyone not in the hockey world take this sport seriously? The GMs might push through a rule for next year. Are you kidding? How can two words by Sean Avery said to a camera warrant a 10-game suspension and a deliberate hit from behind to someone's head? I don't care if he used his heavily armored shoulder instead of his heavily armored elbow, get 0 games. The ears of some sheltered child need to be protected more than the players that bring in the money for the league. Good rant, Dave. I'm with him 100% here. This is, I think it's, you know, the Sean Avery thing is, you know, I mean, they just don't like Sean Avery. That's sort of my thing. I don't think Gary Bettman and the NHL brass like Sean Avery. So they had an opportunity to smack him down. They smacked him down. That's what happened. In terms of this, the Matt Cook hit, for those of you that don't know, Matt Cook made a hit on Mark Savard of the Bruins. A real blindside hit.
Knocked him out for the year.
Gave him a horrible concussion. He was out on the ice, just completely motionless. Cook didn't hit him with his elbow. He didn't get his arm up. He didn't hit him with the butt end of his stick. But he hit him with the shoulder, and Savard was not in a position to defend himself. He had no idea that hit was coming. And the hit did what he intended. It knocked Savard out, and it seriously hurt the Bruins' chances for the rest of the year, without a doubt. Savard's probably their best player. Well, maybe besides Chara. But so what does the NHL do? They have these meetings, these GM meetings, and now they're proposing a rule, which I need to find, but maybe you can, while I look for that, dude, why don't you tell me what you think about the hit?
Well, just having had the Scott Nickel hit this last week and, you know, seeing how violent that was, and, you know, Todd McClellan said that if he had just been slightly a little bit to a certain different angle, it would have been his head that went into those boards first, and we could have had a serious neck or spine injury. And we even saw it, I guess it was 2 years ago, when Torrey Mitchell broke Curtis Foster's leg,
right,
on an icing play, where, you know, the sport is dangerous, but there's things that cross the line. And I gotta agree with you, Dave, that it is pretty inconsistent to say, you know, that Sean Avery can make comments about someone's girlfriend and get 10 games and then basically get run out of the league, which is what happened to him.
Right.
He got 10 games and then he got thrown on the trash, and then, you know, Glenn Sather was dumb enough to bail him out.
Right.
You know, and now he's, you know, back. But, and, you know, people should get a second chance. And, you know, Richards, and I would you call Mike Richards a dirty player?
No.
No, that's the end. I wouldn't call Torrey Mitchell a dirty player either.
Dirty hit. That was a dirty hit.
Dirty hit, but, you know, as Scott Nickel said himself, he said, listen, I've sinned before.
Yeah.
I've made these plays. That's the type of player I am. I'm an aggressive player, and this kind of stuff happens. But there does need to be a penalty or some sort of deterrent in order to keep these kinds of things from happening repeatedly, and especially should get stiffer for repeat offenders. Yeah. Oops, don't you think, dude?
Yeah, I think so. Here, dude, let me read you the
language.
Almost
knocked over the,
yeah, the whole thing.
The here. Entire podcast setup here. That's yeah. why I said oops.
Dude, well, let me read you the language that was agreed to unanimously. Here, I'm quoting now. A lateral back pressure or blindside hit to an opponent where the head is targeted and or the principal point of contact is not permitted. A violation of the above will result in a minor or major penalty and shall be reviewed for possible supplemental discipline. Is this the kind of thing that you think is appropriate, inappropriate, you know, the kind of language we're looking for here?
Read that one more time, dude.
A lateral back pressure or blindside hit to an opponent where the head is targeted and or the principal point of contact is not permitted. A violation of the above will result in a minor or major penalty and shall be reviewed for possible supplemental discipline. What do you think? You have a curious look on your face.
Yeah, but now, instead of reading it in their language, why don't you explain it in English?
Well, what... to me, what this means is this is left up to the discretion of the referee. We're now going to have something in the rule book.
How does that help the situation?
It doesn't. It doesn't. No. This is my view after reading this. This is wishy-washy language. Here's the situation. If a guy gets hit in the head and he doesn't see the hit coming, that's a 5-minute major and immediate match penalty. The end. End of story. Okay. Now, what you want Matt Cook to do is you don't want Matt Cook not to make any hits. You know, there's a head hit rule in the Olympics, as people have pointed out. We didn't see any lack of hitting in the Olympics, did we? We sure saw Rick Nash throw his body around. We saw all these teams, the Swiss team especially, hitting like crazy, okay? So it's not like this is going to take the hitting out of the game. The thing is, you have to make somebody like Matt Cook think about it before he makes that hit. In a minor penalty, is that really going to make Matt Cook think twice?
No.
This is his living. This is how he makes his living. He's a tough player.
And he's not alone.
And he's not the only
Every team has guys like this.
You think Jarkko Ruutu is going to think twice before hitting somebody in the head? Uh-oh, I might get a minor? Come on, man.
That's why they make a couple $1 million, these guys.
That's right. You hit somebody in the head blindside like that, 5-minute major, match penalty, possible suspension, increasing suspension as it is. But you do that, you're out for the game. That's it. The end. I mean, you can't leave any wiggle room here, this discretion kind of thing. If you got to use a video replay, then you use the video replay. But you got to get these hits out of the game.
But for professional athletes, you have to take the money out of their pocket.
That's right.
In order for it to have any impact at all.
That's right.
If it doesn't impact them financially, then it's not going to matter.
These guys are all going to play on the edge because that's the only way you can stay in this league. Is because there's 10 guys in the minors who are willing to come up and play just as tough as you are. And if you're going to be sitting out for 10 games or 5 games and you're going to be missing, you know, $40,000 in money because you got to forfeit that money because you're suspended, that might make somebody just think a millisecond before they make that hit. That's all you want. If they choose to make that hit anyway and they get the penalty, okay, that's how it goes. But you want people to at least think about it before they make that hit, because that wasn't a hit Cook thought about. Here's the guy, here's my shoulder, let's see if I can make contact, game over. And now Savard is out for the year. His career could seriously be in jeopardy. I mean, grade 2 concussion, that's serious business, man. Pat LaFontaine is no longer in the league because of stuff like that. Okay, and Mark Savard's a great player. That's not what we want to come of this, as you see great players get knocked out for their careers because guys don't take the time to think about it for a quarter of a second.
So do you think this solution is ever going to come to fruition, dude?
I mean, this solution? Sure.
No, but this is not a solution.
No, it's not a solution.
So the proposal of, you know, really taking some sort of serious consequence here against these players, is that going to happen?
No.
No.
I don't think so. And I don't often agree with Jack Edwards, but he had a nice little rant about that Colin Campbell wheel of justice, you know, the dartboard of justice. And, you know, that's what we're talking about here. When Avery gets 10 games and Matt Cook gets 0. This is the Colin Campbell wheel of justice here.
So can't Colin Campbell reboot this next year? I mean, next hit to the head, he gives 5 games and that's the standard?
He could.
Does it restart with every season?
Who knows? Yeah, well, repeat offender stuff isn't. Repeat offender stuff doesn't reset.
No, but like, next year, you know, the next guy who gets hit in the head, does that mean he can set the standard for the season that way?
Right. To me, it's not about the punishment. You know, the punishment is secondary. What you want is you want people to be able to predict with extremely good accuracy what's going to happen if I do X. If I hit Sidney Crosby in the head with my shoulder, then I'm going to get 10 games, X. You don't want there to be any wiggle room. You don't want somebody thinking, you don't want Scott Nickel or Jarkko Ruutu or anybody thinking, maybe I might get away with this. Right. Maybe this will be legal. Maybe I'll only get a minor. You don't want any of that wiggle room because they're going to make that a hit. They have to. This is their living. They're not going to sit there and back down because they think something bad might happen. They have to know. They have to know something that will happen.
So Steve Ott went in front of the press and said, I have pictures of Thomas Grice's girlfriend. Does he get 10 games?
No.
Well, what's the difference?
Because they don't like Sean Avery.
Wow.
Yeah.
Great question. Great question. And I don't even know if we answered it, but I think it's an unfortunate situation.
The only thing I would comment is I don't think this really, unfortunately, Dave, or maybe it's beneficial to hockey, is I don't think this is going to make people stay away from hockey or gravitate to hockey either way. It's just a thing.
People still love the NBA.
That's right. And the NBA is even more capricious.
Yeah, bring your gun.
Yeah. Lay it on the locker room floor.
Bring your gun. That hasn't happened yet.
Yeah. Not yet. We should have a pool, see who the first NHL player to bring a gun to the locker room is.
The locker room is going to be?
God, I don't want to know.
No.
Yeah. Well, it's a good question. And of course, we're interested in your comments. You can email us at questions@dudesonhockey.com, or you can comment on the thread where this podcast is posted, or even on Facebook, because we're on Facebook.
Ooh.
How about that?
We're going to have more social networking.
Dude, we're supposed to be on Twitter. That's your fault.
Dude, we are on Twitter. I just don't tweet anything.
Dude.
I follow people on Twitter.
Okay. Who do you follow?
I follow Fear the Finn.
Oh, there you go.
I do. I have us signed up to follow many sports on Twitter. You'll be thrilled to get the baseball updates.
Thanks,
from Sports
dude.
Illustrated.
Great.
Maybe we'll start tweeting. Maybe I'll experiment with that in the coming weeks.
You
we'll
should.
Tie it to the Facebook.
Okay, good. Good. Well, I think that does it for this week's Dudes on Hockey. Thank you for listening. We'll be back again next week, same time, same place. Go Sharks!
Avatar.
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions@dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.